This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether the president's able to regroup with corporate America or not, the global economy within which we all operate is not the one that the president prefers. We were telling you yesterday about a bet that people in South Carolina made a generation ago on luxury German cars, a bet that's paid off pretty well.
It was a blessing that BMW came here. That helped us understand the international community and also opportunities. Just see what's happened to us in 25 years.
30,000 jobs, billions of dollars in corporate investment, and that's just a start. But remember that the winning economic argument in the election last November was that globalization wasn't working and that it would be better for the American economy if we were less a part of things. That is emphatically not the case, though, in some parts of this country. And that's the theme of the series we've got going on globalization, the goods and the not-so-goods. It's called Trade-Off. If you're driving an X-Series BMW, or you see one next to you on the way to the Piggly Wiggly, it was made in a factory in upstate South Carolina. 30% of those cars stay in the United States. The other 70% make a stop on their way out to the global economy here at the Port of Charleston, where they're driven off specially equipped railroad cars one by one.
It can be organized chaos.
That's Adam Henderson. He's the Ro-Ro manager at the port. That stands for roll-on, roll-off cargo.
We have to keep up with the pace. We'd like to target 100 cars an hour.
And they're parked here.
We've got about 70 acres of vehicles.
Until a ship comes in, and then they're driven aboard again, one by one.
If all three ships are working at the same time, it's a beehive.
In charge of it all is Port of Charleston CEO Jim Newsom. They're setting records here for the cargo volume they're moving, part of which is these BMWs.
So they go everywhere. So they go to Germany, they go to Europe, China, Asia. The only ones that don't move through here are Australia, New Zealand, and some of the Middle East.
And all of this is here because it makes economic sense to build a luxury German car in upstate South Carolina for export to the rest of the world using Americans who used to work in textile factories to do it.
Well, I think that people are best, you know, people in countries should focus on what they do best. That's the David Ricardo theory, you know, what everyone shouldn't try to do everything.
Can't tell you how much I love to hear David Ricardo name-checked by a guy I'm interviewing. Ricardo's up there with Adam Smith and the pantheon of founders of modern economics for coming up with the idea of comparative advantage. Not every country should make everything, the theory goes. Everybody makes what they're best at or makes most efficiently, and then we all trade for the rest and everybody prospers. Or if you want to think about it another way, a global economy means incomes have risen not just here but in the rest of the world so that consumers in emerging economies can afford to buy what we make.
And I think globalization is sort of the rising tide that lifts all boats, basically.
So the theory goes. But unless you haven't been listening to this program, like, at all, you know that whole globalization lifting all boats thing. While, yes, actually being the big picture reality is not everybody's individual experience.
There are a whole bunch of people in this country who think globalization is the worst thing that ever happened in the American economy.
Well, I mean, you know, I think it depends on your perspective. If you happen to be in an industry that's not thriving through globalization and you have the unfortunate circumstance of losing your job from that, then I think you would see globalization as a bad thing. But I think the reality of life is that more industries prosper through globalization than suffer.
And that gets us back to where we were yesterday, Spartanburg County in the upstate and the biggest BMW factory in the world, just off I-85 on a campus that really wouldn't look out of place in Silicon Valley.
Hi, I'm Sherry Kuntz-McCraw.
Tell us where we are.
We're in the middle of the Assembly North at BMW Manufacturing in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Off we go.
All right.
It's spotlessly clean. It's enormous, busy, but orderly all at the same time.
We started the plant pretty small, and then we were able to build this assembly, another paint shop, additional body shops.
It's a $10 billion investment by BMW that rolls out almost 500,000 cars a year, 70% of which, again, are sold outside the United States.
How many people, plus or minus, work in this building?
About 5,000.
Phew. You say that like it's nothing. I mean, that's like a whole town.
It is. It's bigger than my hometown, for sure.
Yeah.
Sherry McCraw is the chief financial officer at BMW Spartanburg, but she started back in the day as an engineer. She's got badge number 39. She was the 39th person hired at this plant.
I was doing textiles. I was in the tech services group. It was a little bit the end of the whole textile era, and so we were working on trying to automate factories and come up with better ways to do business, to be more competitive.
Do you remember where you were when you heard that BMW was coming to Spartanburg?
I was actually working in Greenwood, South Carolina. I was doing a project down there, and I would drive past on Highway 85, and I would see the billboard that came up in the middle of a peach orchard, I guess. The sign was planted on the side of the highway. It said, future home of BMW manufacturing. And I looked at the sign every day as I would pass by, and I would think, ah, that's really cool. I could travel to Germany. I could get European travel, and I could do engineering work for a cool company. So.
And she wasn't the only person in textiles who saw opportunity in the form of an application to work at BMW.
We had rooms and rooms and rooms of resumes. Resumes as tall as the ceiling in an entire room of the building where we were working. You couldn't even sort through them, but it was thousands and thousands of resumes.
So these cars over there, I mean, I don't even know what they're doing. They're putting in some kind of molding and back window or something.
This
right?
is the glass cell. So we're installing the front glass and the rear glass. She's putting in the trim pieces to hold the glass in place.
The woman over there who's doing the glass assembly, though.
Yes.
She's a beneficiary of globalization, but there are many in this country and in this economy who aren't.
Yes.
What are your thoughts about the people who see globalization differently?
It's hard for me to understand. It really is very difficult for me to understand what is the true problem with globalization, because trying to be competitive and trying to create a capitalist market system, it's difficult to say, okay, it doesn't make sense to sell to other markets, or it doesn't make sense to only sell in the United States. So for me, it's kind of it's so difficult to understand that perspective. I'm not really sure where they're coming from. I mean, if you see all the benefits from being able to sell everywhere and be able to buy from every place, it's to me, it's just a difficult discussion.
But it's a discussion President Trump wants to have. Pulling back from the global economy is one of the few economic policies the administration is actually making progress on. And whether you're in Spartanburg or Greenville, it can be easy to forget that globalization doesn't always work out the way it's supposed to. Just think about that carrier plant in Indiana, for one example. But here in South Carolina, globalization's made life pretty good for a whole lot of people.
You're welcome. Y'all come on in and have a seat. Can I get you some water?
This is the Suits family on a Tuesday night. Brett Suits shows us into the living room.
I joined BMW in the first year that they were here. I'm associate number 50.
I'm Allison Suits. I'm Brett's wife.
You teach German too, right?
I have been a German teacher. Not currently.
There's Bella, the family dog. Brett and Allison have three kids. Two of them are here.
I'm Molly Suits, and I'm Brett's daughter. I am a special education teacher, so I followed my mom's footsteps.
And Jacob, wearing the same BMW polo his dad's got on.
Work at BMW, obviously, with the shirt, and have been in production and engineering.
You've got to be like 9,300 and something, right?
Oh, well, you're pretty close.
Yeah. So dad's 50.
I am 9,593.
Oh, that's pretty good,
you're
right?
Really
that's
close.
Pretty good guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll get to 10,000. Are they at 10,000 yet? Do you know?
Yes.
BMW helped shape this family. They took a transfer to Germany for a couple of years when the kids were young.
I think we traveled to 11 different countries while we were there and really tried not to leave any stones unturned.
They learned German as good as, or maybe better than, Allison.
I can understand Bayerisch, or the local dialect of Munich, more than even she can.
Oh, yeah.
And when you ask Molly and Jacob about BMW and how much it's changed this area?
Yeah, I guess I wonder if maybe you guys take it a little bit for granted, because it's the way it's always been for y'all growing up around here. I mean, the BMW plant has always been there, and you don't even actually think about it anymore.
Probably. I mean, it's like having a BMW. Like, my dad's always had a brand new BMW.
And since you were two. Jacob has ridden in a BMW since he was two.
And so when people, you know, it's a privilege, but I didn't realize that until I got in the real world and was like, oh, not everybody has a brand new BMW all the time.
So many of my students and their families are employed by BMW or by one of their suppliers. And so I see how that really impacts me as a teacher and my students, because they can have health care, they have better support at home, and then my students are going to be more successful because of that.
And if Brett has his way, BMW and the global economy are going to be here when he is long retired and it's Jacob's generation's turn.
We need to make sure that that group is prepared to take over the organization and lead it to better things than even we've been able to. Some of that selfish, because in retirement I need to continue getting my pension. But really, it's for the community, because this is something that isn't a one or two generation wonder. We intend to make this long term.
And that's what puts this family and its economic future at odds with the way the President of the United States sees this country and this economy. Because globalization hasn't worked everywhere, but it's worked here in upstate South Carolina. And sometimes, made in America is more complicated than it seems.
We make German cars in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. It's a German car. Das Automoto, right?
That's the
well, it's got... It's...
Look, globalization is difficult, and not everybody's going to come out ahead. But the days of not being part of the global economy, they're long gone. We've got our whole series on globalization, Trade-Off, it's called, as well as pictures from inside that BMW factory and a brand new video about some of the winners and losers on our website. It's marketplace.org.